We got breaking news. Feds arrest rogue judge in New Mexico.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
It is Logan Seculo. It's Seculo for your Friday. We made it here, Will. It is Friday. The weekend is upon us. We couldn't leave you without a little bit of breaking news that was happening. Of course, we've got some rogue judges out there. We've known about this. But this one is a bit of a different story than maybe you were expecting even when you clicked on this. Because we've heard a lot about judges over the last few months. You may have seen the Trump administration getting blocked over and over again by some of these rogue judges. But this one ties in more to what's happening at the border and the border crisis and some of the deportations that are happening and so on and so on. But of course, what we find out is it always gets a little hairier and always gets a little bit more disturbing of what's happening. We got a few different instances that have happened just in the last day that have some odd similarities involving these judges. So let's take our, talents to the great state of New Mexico. Tell us what's going on there, Will.
That's right. So a former a state judge, county magistrate judge, Jose Cano, and his wife, Nancy Cano, were arrested by federal authorities yesterday evening.
Yes, and, just the last few hours.
Right. Really. And what they are accused of and being charged with is that they were harboring an illegal immigrant that was a member of Tren de Aragua. That is the Venezuelan gang that has been listed as a foreign terrorist organization now in many of these deportation flights that are happening under the Alien Enemies Act are related to those gang members. This was a judge in New Mexico that was having a member of Tren de Aragua living in his guest house for some time. This individual came to the United States illegally in 2023. They were detained at the border, but because of the housing issues under the Biden administration, was given a court date and released. The old catch and release, as they did during the Biden years. And of course, he made his way to become and worked as a handyman, apparently, for some time for this judge. Became good friends of the family.
Spending Christmases, holidays.
There's photos of him with their family at Christmas. And when federal authorities were investigating to find this individual.
Yeah, doing their search, they're hunting. They're obviously doing all of the spy work, if you will, to make sure they're tracking people, finding out where could they possibly be. We're looking for these crime bosses of Tren de la Agua. And where'd they find him?
They found him in the guest home of this judge. The judge then resigned from the bench just last week.
Again, hold on. I think you went over that a little too chill. They found him living in the home of the judge. Of course, you said he became a family friend of this judge. But we found out that essentially, not necessarily on paper, but essentially was harboring not just people who are, immigrants that have come in here illegally or have done something different, gang members that are, and again, this isn't like a theoretical.
Right. The investigation led to warrants getting obtained to get his text messages and his voicemails. And this gang activity didn't stop when he got to the United States. He was seen as a gang member. Authorities found him, tracked him, arrested him, and that was at the home of this judge. The judge, because of the scandal surrounding it, resigned in March from the bench. The Supreme Court of New Mexico, not necessarily a conservative court, banned him for life from being a judge in New Mexico. And then today, or just last night, federal authorities arrested him and his wife on charges of witness or evidence tampering because they were harboring this individual. But there's another judge that just broke before air. I'm just saying, we're going to talk about it in the next segment.
That's right. Don't spoil it for everybody. We got to keep them along for their journey. Another judge essentially breaking the law. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, if you have your thoughts or feelings on this or any of the topics we've talked about this week. And we only got 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. Go to ACLJ.org right now and make your donations as it is doubled for the rest of the month. Be right back. Seculo. A lot of you are joining us right now. And if you had that issue on YouTube, we're investigating that to see what's actually happening there. But thankfully, the stream is back. It was back for us. It never went away for me, but I know for some of you, I see in the comments that it did. But Will, let's reset what we're talking about here, and then we're going to go into another judge. But let's start with judge number one. Judge number one, who was essentially harboring illegal gang members in his home who had become family friends. And when they were investigating where to arrest this man, they located him inside this judge's house, which led to the judge resigning, ending his career effectively. And also, it could lead to even a further ban is what they've presented, right?
That's right. So we have this individual who entered the U.S. unlawfully in 2023 on December 15th in Eagle Pass, Texas. That obviously was one of the biggest points for illegal immigration within the Biden administration. And then he was released into the country 3 days later, pending removal proceedings. But due to the overcrowding at the prison, he was let go. He made his way from Texas to New Mexico, where he met this judge. They said that he originally became a handyman, but they became friends with him. He was living in the guest house there, but was a gang member. And federal authorities tracking down these people that were caught and then released and never showed up for their deportation hearings led them to New Mexico, where they found him when they went to arrest him at the home of this New Mexico judge, this state judge. Now, that judge resigned from the bench because of the scandal of having a Tren de Aragua illegal immigrant living in his home. But then he was banned for life from the New Mexico Supreme Court of serving as a judge ever again. But it didn't stop there.
Yeah.
Now, federal authorities have arrested this judge that was harboring an illegal criminal gang member in his home just last night. So he and his wife were arrested in New Mexico, and he will not be on the bench in New Mexico anymore, but may be facing very severe penalties in federal court coming up.
All right, that's part one. And I want you to give me a call because we got a lot of you watching right now, and I know there's a lot of feedback flying about these judges. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. If you're brand new, by the way, you're just joining us now on YouTube or Rumble or any of our social media platforms, we do this show each and every day. I'm going to encourage you to subscribe. We had a little bit of a glitch on YouTube. If you're watching me right now and it's working just fine for you on YouTube or not, hit that thumbs up. If you can see me, hit that thumbs up. Know that would appreciate it. We can also gauge the numbers of people who are interacting. That would be very helpful. Phone lines, like I said, are open at 1-800-684-3110 because let's move our attention to the state of Wisconsin, where there's another judge involved in another situation similarly. Maybe not living with him, but not too far off.
So this happened in Milwaukee, and this was another state judge. So once again, these aren't federal judges where they get a lifetime appointment. Many of these have an election if you're a local judge, things of that nature. So these are in the state court systems. But this judge is now arrested for obstruction of justice charges by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. This happened this morning. And there was actually a tweet that went out about it from Kash Patel, but then it was removed. But now we've been following it. Many news outlets are getting confirmation from law enforcement sources that this is indeed the case. And this judge allegedly, when the federal authorities showed up to arrest an illegal migrant that had a hearing at the courthouse before her, she didn't let the federal authorities know where he was or even try to say, hey, let me do my proceedings. She hid him, allegedly, in the jury chamber.
Hid.
Yep. Hid this illegal immigrant that was being sought by federal authorities in the jury chamber, according to the sources, and then told the federal authorities,
Go that way.
Like old Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Like, Scooby-Doo'd him. And then the feds then found him when he tried to escape the courthouse and chased him on foot and were able to arrest this person. But that started an investigation by the FBI. And now it appears that this judge, Judge Dugan, was arrested Friday morning for obstruction of justice by hiding and concealing a migrant and telling the authorities, go that way, I saw him running over there. This is just absurd. And then you—it
doesn't even seem real. I mean, yeah. It seems like you said, like a comedy, like a Pink Panther.
Right.
There's a hacksaw Judge Dugan saying, "Go over there," you know, and that's happening. Oh, and you know. When you hear these stories, though, it doesn't feel real. Feelings feel out of hand. And we were talking about this last night, Will and I, privately. It just feels like the chaos that's happening right now can maybe start to be avoided. Maybe we could start toning this down and figuring it out. But the problem is you have activated a group of judges. You've activated a group of people on both sides who are taking normal civil discourse, throwing it out the window and saying, oh, we're going to hide people in our own homes. We're going to hide them in the chambers. Let them run out the door in Milwaukee. You know, again, in Wisconsin, this is happening.
Well, and you have to think about, the left loves to say that President Trump is creating a constitutional crisis. There are potential constitutional crises, but it's when there are people that are state judges in this country that are not just having the normal lawfare or having different legal philosophy and obstructing through the courts and being an activist judge, but in these cases, these two specific cases, are actually conducting criminal illegal activity to stop the enforcement of our immigration laws. Like, right. There, we talk about the activist judges on one side, where it is using these nationwide injunctions. And by the way, if you're fed up with that, the ACLJ is representing the state of West Virginia in a brief we're filing at the Supreme Court next Tuesday. So we'll talk more about that later. But we're going to fight it through the court system because we're not law enforcement. So our attorneys are right now working. That's another good reason to support the ACLJ, is that we are trying to push back. We are representing a state to try to put it into these nationwide injunctions by activist judges.
And then
on the other hand, you have these activist judges that are literally doing crimes.
And remember, this isn't New York. This isn't Chicago. This isn't Los Angeles. You're talking about Milwaukee, you're talking about New Mexico, you're talking about places you were not really expecting to hear this kind of thing. You hear these sort of crazy night court scenarios coming out of those states. You don't hear it as much from Wisconsin. You don't hear it as much from Milwaukee. But Will, Milwaukee has certainly had its share of visitors. Did you know the French missionaries and explorers were coming here as early as the late 1600s to trade with Native Americans?
I love that you're doing a history election here as well. You know,
it's actually pronounced Milwaukee.
You know who else visited Milwaukee?
Mm-hmm.
The RNC last year was in the great state of Wisconsin in Milwaukee.
Do you know what Milwaukee means?
I don't. But you'll tell me.
It's a Native American for the good land. It's Algonquin, actually.
Okay.
For the good land. Okay. If you get that reference, put it in the comments. I want to see that. Because Will doesn't. So now I want to see if you do. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Karen, who's calling in New Mexico. Karen, you're on the air.
I just wanted to speak up for my home state.
All right.
We are not all in support at all of what this judge has done. We're not in support of a governor that wants to torch the Constitution. We are well aware of the issues with an open border, and I just wanted to speak up for us. I live in the southeast corner, and we have some wonderful state representatives who do genuinely represent us, and they do a wonderful job. It's just that for the most part, this state is under the stranglehold of Democrats.
Well, Karen, I think that's important, obviously, to share with most states. Even the reddest of the red states, 20%, 35%, 40% sometimes, are voting for the other side. Flip that as well. We have some of our biggest supporters of the ACLJ, what we do, in California, in Washington State. Places that you wouldn't expect, mainly because they feel like they are maybe a little outnumbered. They need the support, they need the help, but also these are big populous. These are places where there are a lot of great people. So, Karen, I want to apologize if we painted with too broad of a brush, but that's not what we meant. We know there's great people in New Mexico. We made a movie in New Mexico just a couple of years ago. We are, we've been there. We've spent time there. There's good people there. There's tons of churches. There's a lot of good family people there that have the values that you share, Karen. But the problem is, you're right. Politically, it goes the other way.
Well, and as well, Karen, that just because in this case, there are two judges that are accused of a crime, does not mean that every time a judge obstructs the president, they are committing a crime. If they are using these nationwide injunctions, they're using what they can get away with the law right now. And that is the exact reason why the ACLJ is filing this brief next Tuesday, is that they're not going to arrest a judge for an injunction because that's not committing a crime. But what we can do is fight back in the courts, get the Supreme Court to hopefully rule on this once and for all, and be able to put an end to these nationwide injunctions that are so easily put forward by district court judges.
All right, phone lines are open for you, but I'm going to encourage you right now, because phone lines are mostly jammed. They got one open, 1-800-684-3110. There's only 5 days that remain in the Life and Liberty Drive. Harry Hutchins can be joining us in the next segment to give you a bit more details about what Will was talking about. We're going to break that all down, but right now I'm going to encourage you, whether we're filing a lawsuit, whether we are filing critical submissions, whether our legal team is being engaged or whether our media is being engaged, whether we know we have to win over hearts and minds through TV, through radio, through podcast, through YouTube streaming, through Rumble, scan. Welcome back to Sack Yellow. Harry Hutchins joining us in studio right now. There are some new reports coming out from the United States Justice Department. You may remember after the October 7th attacks, UNRWA, the United Nations relief organization that was dedicated to allegedly getting supplies, humanitarian aid for those in Gaza. Of course, it was uncovered that many of UNRWA's workers were also double agents, essentially, also working for Hamas. But the Biden administration and a few others decided, hey, they can't be prosecuted. If you're part of UNRWA, you have essentially all forms of immunity. But now, the Trump administration, the new U.S. Department of Justice, is saying that that cannot be the case. So we are seeing some reversals of some pretty important moments here, because UNRWA has shown time and time again to kind of be a false leader in this.
That's right. And this was something that was very shocking when it came out during the Biden administration, because this is a part of a lawsuit that is brought by more than 100 victims of the October 7th attack that they were claiming up to $1 billion in damages from UNRWA from their participation in the October 7th attempted genocide, massacre, whatever moniker you want to put on that horrific day. And the Biden administration said, no, UNRWA actually has immunity from lawsuits based off of our reading. So that's what the Justice Department under Joe Biden did. And we covered it at the time because it was shocking, really. But now what you're seeing is all it took was a new president and a new Justice Department that the Justice Department has updated the opinion of the Justice Department in court now to say that, no, the previous Justice Department erred in that, and that UNRWA can be sued. They are not immune from liability in the United States for their participation in this October 7th attack. Professor Hutchison, what changed here on the legal side from the two Justice Departments?
Well, number one, I think the Trump administration actually read the law and also looked at whether or not UNRWA, which is essentially the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine, whether or not the charter that applied to the United Nations directly applies to UNRWA. And the Trump administration, after reviewing this case, reversed the Biden administration, and I think quite correctly, because UNRWA has directly participated in supporting Hamas and its terror campaign against Israel. So, for instance, UNRWA employees were paid in cash. Why were they paid in cash? They were paid in cash in order to provide financial assistance, arguably, to Hamas. In addition, UNRWA allowed Hamas to use its facilities for weapons storage. Obviously, UNRWA is a participant in this terror campaign. But the Biden administration, in its wisdom or senility, whichever choice you wish to make, decided, oh, no, you cannot sue UNRWA. And so I think at the end of the day, one of the things that the Trump administration needs to do and our listeners need to focus on is the removal of UNRWA from the United Nations and United Nations support.
Right. And I think they feel like they're one and the same. Obviously, they're closely related. But I want to read a statement also that came in from Elise Stefanik, who's been a friend of this show. And obviously, you're well aware of who she is. She said, President Trump's action of stripping UNRWA of immunity is an important act of moral clarity. I strongly advocate for this decision to allow victims' families to pursue justice and expose UNRWA's shameful complicity in terrorism. America must never protect organizations tied to Hamas in the October 7th terror attacks. It feels like that should be a no-brainer. The fact that we were providing them immunity just shows you another PR failure that kind of happened out of the Biden administration, where they decided, oh, let's make these decisions. It's going to make a lot of the American people happy. And of course, it's going to move our narrative forward.
That's right. And our work here at the ACLJ on combating UNRWA, we know we've seen the UNRWA supplies that have built the terror tunnels. You see the images when they find them that are UNRWA concrete bags and supply bags that are in the tunnels. We know of UNRWA teachers that were holding hostages in their own home or UNRWA facilities that were used to harbor hostages that Hamas had taken. And we actually, just a couple months ago, filed at the UN a briefing that, as we do, that is requesting that the UN end UNRWA's mandate for its role in acts of terrorism, essentially arguing that the UN needs to disband UNRWA as it is because it is a toxic organization that aids, abets, and participates in many ways, terrorism against Jews in Israel. But our work doesn't stop there. We have represented hostage families. This could be an opportunity for even the ACLJ to get involved. It, now that UNRWA does not have this immunity blanket over it because of the correct decision by the Justice Department to go forward. But really, Harry, at the end of the day, the U.S. has pulled funding from UNRWA. We have advocated here at the ACLJ that it needs to be disbanded. But really, there's no saving this organization that does nothing but prop up Hamas.
I think that's precisely correct. And so the American people should demand the defunding of UNRWA. That's number one. But we should also demand the defunding, or at least a reduction in American support for the United Nations. These so-called humanitarian organizations have been active participants in terror campaigns in the past. They are likely to be active participants in the future, and they should be defunded. That's number one. Number two, the Biden administration preemptively gave immunity to UNRWA rather than allowing, for instance, a court to adjudicate that particular issue.
All right. And the ACLJ is always going to try to figure out how to get involved in all these topics. And that's what's really great about our organization, is that we're nimble. We're able to adjust. We're able to see what's going on in the news, find out how we can get involved. We are sometimes the people making the news. Obviously, we're already involved. But that happens on such a different level here than it does in other organizations. Because what we advocate here, free speech, religious freedom, it kind of goes beyond any sort of box that you could put us in. Thankfully, we are able to do that. And the ACLJ has obviously been a big supporter of the state of Israel, and we have been for many, many, many years. And that is under attack right now from the left, obviously, but now from the, maybe you'd say, the alt-right that's happening. And I don't like using that term. I don't feel like that's an appropriate term for a lot of people, but you know who I'm talking about. People that have made these very public declarations against Israel and anti-Semitic remarks against Jewish Americans and obviously Jewish Israelis. So right now, you need to support a work at a place like the ACLJ, because we are standing up for their rights. We are standing up the rights for you and for Christians all around the world. You've heard about what's going on in the Congo. We are directly involved in that as well. We are getting a lot together right now because, though we may talk a lot about how the UN has this corrupt narrative inside of it, guess what? The European Center for Law and Justice, our European affiliate, that's, you know, the same, you know, organization, if you will. If you support the ACLJ, you're supporting the ECLJ. We have status at the UN. We can actually get your voice heard by the people who need to hear it the most. We got a second half hour coming up. If you don't get us on your local stations, join us right now at ACLJ.org, the ACLJ app, or all your favorite social media platforms. Later on, podcasts, you can find us. Just search for Seculo. We'll be right there. Scan the QR code. We only got 5 days left on our Life and Liberty Drive. Help get your donations doubled. Be back in a minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. We got a second half hour coming up. Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us in the next segment, so stay tuned for that. We got a couple lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Let's kick it off with a few phone calls. Let's go to Lorien, who's calling.
Lorien.
What'd I say?
Lorien.
I don't even think that's a name.
I don't either.
Lorien.
I helped you out there.
You're in New Mexico, and that's why I'm taking your call first. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. I'm calling because I disagree with a lot of the people here. Our governor is evil to begin with. Our mayor, Tim Keller, has done nothing for the state at all. Now he's running for mayor again, so he's kind of trying to put things in order until he gets paid and then won't do anything. And then they called the National Guard in so they can go around Central where all the homeless are, but they cannot carry guns. They cannot put uniforms on. They were supposed to wear polo shirts and pants and go through Central, you know. And
Lorien, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your statement there.
No, that was it.
Yeah, Lorien, we spent some time in New Mexico. And here's what I can tell you. As much as I think it's a beautiful state, I mean, some of the prettiest landscape I've ever seen in my entire life was driving through New Mexico. I kind of said, you look up, you see the beauty, and you look down, and you see a lot of what's going on, a lot of the crime on the streets. And it was probably the most evident of any state I've visited in, that there is crime and organized crime going on. And when you have these kind of states where this kind of corruption is being allowed to overrun the state, it is really unfortunate. Of course, I'm talking about like downtown Albuquerque, of course, in the suburbs and things, it's fine. But we even saw, I mean, I stayed in like an Airbnb outside in a nice area, and there were people in front of our home digging through the trash, you know, going through things, and people that were clearly unwell. It's a crisis that's happening in a lot of these states. And the problem is the government is just not, they're ignoring it.
Right. And I think also it's not just the state government. It was the last 4 years. I assume that things got much, much worse. And even to your point, that anecdote about seeing someone on the street at night in a suburban neighborhood that was going through trash cans and things of that nature. I stayed downtown in a hotel and looked over, and I saw multiple times while I was there, city blocks blocked off completely by ICE officials. Like 10 vehicles blocking off an entire block, having some sort of
during the Biden administration.
During the Biden administration, this is happening, seeing some sort of immigration enforcement taking place. And what shocked me was, one, to see that, because we are not used to that here, but two, the reaction of the people that were going about their day walking to work. If that happened here, there would probably be a crowd of onlookers wondering what's going on, or the streets would be completely quiet. Instead, you saw everyone walking with their coffee,
normal,
with their earbuds in, as if nothing was happening, walking through an active operation.
Crime moment.
Just walking. And that shocked me as well, that what a beautiful place with such wonderful people that we met and worked with for days filming a movie there. And just that what the government has failed them, both at the federal level and the state level, and made it a very dangerous place in a real sense.
And now then we're seeing that now it's almost like we have the proof.
Right.
And the proof is you have judges harboring essentially, you want to say terrorists, but gang members.
I mean, someone that is a member of a gang that is on the foreign terrorist organization
list. Yeah.
So yes, harboring a terrorist, I think, is an accurate and correct description at this point, Logan.
All right, Ethan, you're right. Yeah. I'm just trying to be kind. You know, it is what it is.
Rick kind Grinnell, to a terrorist or kind to the judge?
I don't
know.
Neither, really.
Don't be so kind.
You gotta approach things differently sometimes. Speaking of that, we got Rick Grinnell joining us in the next segment. You should stay tuned for that. Rick always brings incredible insights. We're going to break down a lot of what's going on, including some infighting within the DNC as they try to recover from what has been a historic drop in people. You may say, why is that important? We'll get into why it's important for you as a Christian, as a conservative, and your conservative values. And then if you're on hold right now, stay on hold. We're going to get to your calls coming up in the final segment, which is just a few minutes away. So stay tuned for that. Support the work of the ACLJ. 5 days left. Then you don't have to hear me say this again for a few months to have your donations doubled. So do it today. Welcome back to Secular. Rick Grinnell is joining us right now, live in Washington, D.C., it appears. Rick, you're still there. You're still having a deal with what Washington, D.C. is. And we have a bit of an update here, Will, because the DNC right now is a bit in chaos.
Everything's fine. What are you talking about?
And you know what? It's okay to acknowledge it. I think it's good for them to acknowledge what's happening within their own party. Obviously, our audience is going to lean more conservative. We're going to, just based on if you're listening to this show, I feel like that's probably true. But you do want to see at least your political parties discussing why things have gone so horribly wrong.
That's right. And so we have a situation here where the vice chair of the DNC is David Hogg. He was a student at Parkland
yep.
And kind of rose to DNC Democrat fame for his anti-gun stances. But now he was elected as the vice chair by the DNC. And now we're hearing that the DNC has kind of given him an ultimatum because he's saying maybe he's not going to support incumbents. Rick, you tweeted this. It's, yikes. The DNC chairman is saying that the DNC vice chairman should either resign or change his ways. This seems like a big deal, and the political media is largely ignoring it. Tell us why it's a big deal, Rick.
Look, can you imagine that if we had the RNC chair and the RNC deputy chair disagreeing on anything? I mean, this would be chaos in the Republican Party headlines. And yet we don't see that from the other side. This is a town where I'm in Washington, D.C., and I think our listeners know I hate being here, but I'm here because President Trump asked me to be here. But this is a town that just thrives on, you know, trying to find political conflict. And here we have it right at the DNC. The number one and the number two are completely at odds as to who to support and what to do and how to use their money. And the number one guy literally said, hey, you got to get out if you're going to continue this way. I don't want you in the DNC doing what you're doing. And so this is a purging of a disagreement. I mean, the Democrats are really good at cancel culture and purging when they don't like something. And now they're doing it with their own national committee. They're literally telling someone, you cannot have a differing view, otherwise we will cancel you. And David Hogg is about to be canceled by the Democratic Party.
Well, let's take a bigger view of this though, Rick. Even just your experience in politics, my experience in politics, and knowing what it is, the idea of being, we're going to advocate against the incumbents. Obviously, if there's some that you disagree with and are out of the party line, okay, fine, maybe we can have that discussion. But that often, it rarely leads to success. It feels like you have to kind of get behind your incumbent, especially if they're popular within their... how many times have our friends been challenged to go run up against an incumbent of their own party and just been defeated to an absurd level? It seems like that is the game plan. They always want to cause some sort of disruption in that system, but they don't understand their own constituents.
Look, it's my belief that we should not have purity tests, right? You shouldn't just be able to say because you're an incumbent,
of course,
you absolutely get all of the Republican money, the Republican National Committee money. I think this is more of an issue of supply and demand. Look, I believe that if David Hogg wants to support far left candidates in his position, he was elected by the Democratic Party. And he is the vice chair. And if he now wants to support differing voices within the Democratic Party, why is the chair deciding that you got to silence people and there's only going to be one voice? Look, sometimes the Republicans have the same issue, but we always have a very healthy debate on the subject. And I would rather have people debating the topics and trying to get their candidates to be different or better. But let the system decide. Whoever is able to appeal to people and get more money, and then ultimately appeal to the voters and get more votes, should be the winner. And so if you have a competitive process, so be it. This is America. You're supposed to have competition.
Well, Rick, I think I 100% agree with you. But I think what maybe the DNC chair understands and the vice chair does not understand is that when there were differing voices within the Democrat Party, the DNC chair held firm and they got rid of those. They had their purity test. You think of people like Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., these individuals that were Democrats but didn't fall in line 100% with the party's purity test. I think what the DNC chair may realize is that if you open up and give an inch a little bit, you're not ending up with more AOCs. You're ending up with more Tulsi Gabbards, because the people of America are not as far left as people like David Hogg want to believe they are. And that isn't a winning strategy. So I can a little bit sympathize with the DNC chair, but I also know their playbook. But also, they may not have to really primary anyone, because it seems like the Democrats are getting a lot of retirements these days.
Look, we all know that the Democratic Party is full of intolerance right now. They don't want to debate. They don't want regular people to challenge the elites. This is a party of elites. They make the rules at the top and they demand that everybody follow. And I think David Hogg, who's young, much younger, is trying to change the party and say, let's have a discussion. Let's be able to see who's the better candidate. And the elites within the Democratic Party are completely crushing him. I think that this is the entire problem of, it's emblematic of the situation that the Democrats find themselves in. The elites are controlling the narrative. They're crushing any debate. They want everyone to get in line. And if you don't get in line, you get canceled.
Rick, final topic shift here for today, but just quickly, we are hearing a lot about Russia and Ukraine again, as President Trump has been putting pressure, telling Vladimir Putin to stop some of these attacks, but also there are ultimatums now being issued to both parties of, listen, we've been helping. If you don't get on board and come to the table and us figure this out, United States is just going to walk away from this process. What's kind of your assessment of where this is as we look at potentially and hopefully ending this conflict between Ukraine and Russia?
Well, we have a president of the United States who values peace and who really wants to make sure that we have a pathway towards peace. We're not just talking about more money for a war and escalating a war like Joe Biden did, but Donald Trump is sending in negotiators to say, let's work through this. Now, negotiators have to be credible on both sides. That's the job of being a negotiator, is to get both sides to say, they're listening to my viewpoints. And trying to forge peace is very difficult. It's a lot easier just to ignore conflict and let it go right into war. So Steve Witkoff and President Trump are doing yeoman's work to try to figure out, how do you get these two countries who have been at war for years to try to come together to solve their problems diplomatically and peacefully. They're making progress. This is very difficult because it hasn't been done in years. And I say we just give them a little bit of time.
Rick, thanks so much for joining us. We really always appreciate your insight in all of this as the ACLJ continues on with just 5 days left. And maybe, Rick, I'll give you a minute here too. We only got 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive, which is where gifts are double. There's crazy, amazing ACLJ supporters and champions who are saying, hey, if you give $5, we'll match it. We'll make it $10. You give $5,000, we'll make it $10,000. We're seeing that as we start to wrap this up. I want to give you the opportunity, though, to talk about your work here and what you've been doing.
Well, I hope that people will support us. It's a very important cause. Trying to have entities that really work hard to accomplish progress, not just talk about it. We don't just have a team of people who tweet and complain. We have a team of lawyers and others who actually are doing things. If you want to support an organization that is doing the work, then you should really support this Life and Liberty Drive. It's a great time to do it because of the doubling of your contribution. I'm so proud to be a part of this organization. I hope people will go and support it, because we've got lawyers who are working really hard to try to bring some sort of a semblance to our society of fairness and conservative values.
Rick, thank you again so much for joining us. We appreciate your support, and your ongoing commentary that you provided us has been invaluable. And we couldn't do that, of course, without our ACLJ supporters. And Rick, I'm going to hit you up and text you here in just a minute. I got a question for you for off the air. But ACLJ.org right now, scan the QR code.
I like that intrigue you're throwing in there, Logan. It's a little bit of mystery.
Yeah, I know what. That's why you got to do that, Will. It's called storytelling. Let's put up the QR code here real quick as we head into break, because you heard that from Rick. It's very important right now. There are 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. You've heard about all the breaking news and how we're involved in what feels like every single one of these topics. And we can't do that, and we can't have incredible people on staff like Rick without you. So I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. I don't only encourage you, I ask you to pray about it, think about it if you can. And if you can't right now, you know what a great way to do? There's thousands of you watching right now just on YouTube. We know about 50% don't subscribe. Just hit that subscribe button. A great free way to support the work of the ACLJ. It gets the word out there. We'll be back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's time to hear from the most important voice in the room, and of course that's you, our ACLJ supporters, our ACLJ champions. By the way, if you're a champion, you give on a monthly recurring basis, you get bumped up to the front of the line. All you gotta do is tell our phone screener, they make sure you really are a champion, and boom! You usually are the first person taken, and that's a little perk that I offer here. I don't even think that's official. I don't think that's on the paperwork when you click that you want to be a recurring champion. It's just something I like to offer. So make sure you tell our phone screener if you're a champion, if you call in. We got 3 lines open for you right now at 1-800-684-3110. If you call in right now, you still have a chance to get on the air. Let's go ahead, though, and take Oscar, who's calling from Texas. Oscar, you've been on hold for a long time. Know that I really appreciate you holding. We had a lot of content to get to, but go ahead.
Thank you so much. I'm Oscar in West Texas, close to the Big Bend country. God bless everybody. I just wanted to touch on a couple of items right quick. We know that the border issue has been a big one. Other issues, one of the speakers mentioned poverty, gangs, mm-hmm. New Mexico. New Mexico is beautiful. I've been there in Las Cruces and all over. Mm-hmm. A lot of areas, a lot of cities are struggling in poverty. A lot of areas are struggling with gangs. But if we focus on what God is saying in the Word on a daily basis, we set aside these party affiliations, this extreme left. Yes, there's extreme left. And there is extreme right.
Sure.
Now, Justice Scalia, Supreme Court Justice, mentioned the former justice, and he passed away in Presidio County, by the way, in Cibolo Ranch. Anyway, he said, it is well established that the Fifth Amendment entitled aliens to due process of law in deportation proceedings. Everything that has been unconstitutional, everything that has been abuse of power, a lot of things that have been going on from both sides, what God is, God is watching all this. Everything from what the legal scholars are saying, there's a lot of good attorneys, a lot of legal scholars that are Republican, that are Democrat, whatever. But if we continue to bash and divide, well, the left, God is watching. But I can tell you one thing, there's a pattern here from the border issue in the United States to Gaza. There is a video that was released, and it was released by President Trump. The bronze statue, he released it. The Riviera of the Middle East. Special interest is dominating the environment. Yes, we pray for Israel. Yes, we pray for the United States. We pray for all nations. But there is a divisiveness here for special interests. There's unconstitutional acts under the Enemies Alien Act. A lot of things going on.
Yeah.
So we got to reason together. But I'll leave you with this.
Okay.
King Belshazzar and King Nebuchadnezzar were removed, dethroned in the Bible for keeping the people in oppression. And that will come with this president for the abuse of power that is going on right now and the hatred, but yet he's opening the door for South Africa, according to Elon Musk, and y'all can bring the...
Yep, Oscar, I am not cutting you off because I disagree with some of your statements, because I actually agree with a lot of what you had to say. We're going to disagree maybe towards the end. We're going to disagree on what's going on in Gaza and all of that. And look, I do believe we need to be praying for these people. I do believe we need to find a way to work towards peace in all of these situations. And Will and I were just discussing off air our feelings and our thoughts, as you do have to always continue to pray and think and deep dive into really what's going on. And sometimes, look, that may make you, the viewer, more uncomfortable, because we're going to always be honest with you. We're going to always tell you what we think and what we believe. And sometimes that doesn't align with a certain administration. Sometimes that doesn't align with an administration or with a political point of view that you may agree with. But you know, we're going to give you the truth. We're going to give you the truth whether you like it or not. We're going to have the truth here. We're going to have the facts. We're going to have what's legal. We had law professors and law scholars on telling you some of these issues that are being stopped from the Trump administration, some of them is because they are not going about it, not necessarily the right way by the law. And you have something where Oscar said a lot of his comments are accurate. We talked about that the other day. Do you really want $10 billion going to Harvard when you see what's going on in the streets? I don't think so.
Well, and to some of Oscar's points as well about it even being used politically, when you think about both sides, they both use it politically. We can debate the due process issues into the length that it goes, but this isn't a one-sided issue as well. President Obama's administration was deporting over 300,000 people a year with summary deportation, with no due process, with no hearing, with no presentation of evidence. So don't for a minute believe that President Trump is the only one that is using summary removal of migrants.
No, they want you to believe that.
I haven't seen the data because I haven't looked into it that long, but can pull it up. I just don't believe they were deporting that many under the Biden administration. But there are always deportations.
The Biden administration was its own anomaly.
Own flop. But even during President Obama, for all his rhetoric and for the DACA issues that he put forward, his administration was still doing summary removal.
Yeah.
They were still doing a lot of things that they blame the right for being the only ones to do.
Well, they governed.
Now, if you want to fix the problems and you want to fix these issues, then we have to work together to try and fix them. But it is so polarized, to Oscar's point,
well,
it is only used as a political football.
You're right. At least the Obama administration, I didn't agree with pretty much anything they did, but at least they were governing. At least they were trying. It felt like for 4 years of the Biden administration, it was just set it and forget it and hope everything goes well. And it surely did not. And the proof was in the pudding that you eat, according to Joe Biden. Remember when he said that? All right, let's go ahead and go to CJ, who's calling in Montana. Also been on hold for a very long time. We appreciate it. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. Thanks for what you're doing for the country. And since I got through the line here, I want you to know I'm going to run out and buy a lottery ticket. But anyway, here's my question. Everybody's got to be very careful with how they word things, but with the corruption going on with these judges, this sounds like, oh, they're buddies with these guys. Well, I've always been suspect of people like, you know, Gavin Newsom and other politicians not doing anything, wondering if they're on the take, or I'll even take things a step further. Are they in business with these guys?
Yeah,
so is there going to be further investigations to see if these guys were on the take and, like, you know, being paid off or
yeah, CJ, even in business? I am only cutting off because I understand what you're saying and we're running out of time. I think, you know, I don't know about specifically about Gavin Newsom, but there have been a lot of corruption.
Was in New Mexico, not California. But I think what it does also point out is when you see these local judges and you hear all these stories about, oh, they are releasing criminal illegal aliens that have committed a crime with no punishment over and over and over again, it shows their mindset and ideology, whether there's a vast conspiracy or something where they're all networking together to do this. Highly unlikely. I think that would be uncovered if that were the truth. But what you are seeing is that their ideology isn't just like, we're going to let them go, we're going to let them go. It's that there are judges that will let them go and invite them into their own home.
Hey, Kristen, I want to quickly take your call. We got a minute and a half left, so only about 30 seconds for you. And I'm so sorry because I know you've been on hold for a while, but go ahead with your comment.
Yes, same thing. Just questioning where the Democrats that and the judges that are so behind Kilmer Garcia, where was the fighting in going over to Israel to help those hostages in Russia?
Well, exactly.
And, you know, I just don't understand.
Look, I think that the lack of response from all of these people in terms of the hostages, you know, I brought it up to one of my friends last night. They just don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They're like, please look at these videos. And they're horrifying videos, by the way, of children who are hurt. who are innocent. And I understand that. And I'm not saying some of it's not real. But what I am saying is there is a pretty simple solution. And Hamas won't do it. So much so you're seeing a bit of an uprising. And what I pray for is that uprising gets stronger and stronger. But it's a prayer. That being said, we got 30 seconds left. I'm going to ask you to put up the QR code on the screen. If you have the opportunity and you have the ability, we only got 5 days left in our Life and Liberty Drive. Don't wait till the last day, though. Go to ACLJ.org. Your gift will be doubled. Even if you become an ACLJ champion, your first gift will be doubled. It takes immense resources to fight the fights we are in, to have even broadcasts like this. So do what you can. $5, $5,000, ACLJ.org.